Disrespect will take you places you can't get to from here. Disrespect entertains with a look at the challenges and sometimes the successes of people with disabilities who have taken from them or are denied the full choice of possibilities to affect for the better their own lives or the lives of those above them.
Disrespect welcomes Barrick German, co-founder of the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee. Barrick, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you.
You have some details for us on what activist events are coming up in the near future in September and October for people who are disadvantaged, the homeless, disabled, the poor.
Yes, well, we've just had one today. This is, of course, the 15th of September.
Right.
And we've had a memorial for Paul Crouch, who was a homeless man who was beaten to death by reservist military folks over here at the Moss Park Armory. So we've just had one, but we've got another event coming up just around the block, just north of the John Innes Center on Sherbourne and Queen. Mm-hmm. And that'll be on the 20th, this Saturday the 20th, there'll be a musical event, a Housing Not War musical event.
Okay.
And then, of course, we're allying with the peace movement in their moves around peace.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be an event coming up on the 18th of October.
Okay. And those are the three events that you foresee.
Well, there are more, too. On the 23rd of this month,
yeah,
there'll be a meeting at the 835 Queen Street East, and that'll be all the agencies coming together because the federal government has not yet come through with funding to maintain services.
This is Skippy or more?
Well, what we call hippie now.
Okay, all right. Housing?
Well, it's basically more supports around housing.
Okay, all right, all right. Can you tell us how the Paul Crouch event went?
Paul Crouch event was very good. There were 75 to 100 people there.
Yeah.
We had many speakers and many people who knew Paul Crouch talked about the tragedy of the military soldiers beating him to death, but essentially said, you know, that had Paul had a place, he wouldn't have been in the park. And he wouldn't have been so vulnerable in the park regardless.
Yeah.
So then, of course, we had an event where we laid flowers at the bench where he was beaten to death.
Yeah.
And then we went outside of the armories and called for the armories to become housing, to close that old armories down.
They're you did training. This inside the armories?
Not inside the armories, no.
Okay.
No. There was a police line that kept us from that.
Okay.
But we're calling for the armories to become, we'd like to call it the Paul Crouch Housing Co-op.
I think that's very appropriate. So what was the reception? 75 to 100 people, memorial. Is the bench identified in any way? Is it memorialized in any way except by these flowers?
No, not really, no. No.
It's on armory property,
is
it? It's
on armory property, yes.
Okay.
It's where Paul used to, when he couldn't tolerate the shelter system, would stay out overnight. And that night was no different except that there were predators in the park.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So the event was a success?
Yes, it was a good success. We just need to continually ramp up this pressure on the armories and around the Housing Not War campaign. We've got billions and billions and billions of dollars going towards a war that 60% of the people don't want. And
yeah.
It's a war that we will not only lose, but we're just backing one side in a civil war, and our side is no different than the other.
Okay.
And so we will lose this war for sure. We don't have as many troops as the Russians. The Russians lost, and before that, the British lost.
Yes, I recall.
And so the
Kipling has nice poems about Afghanistan.
Well, yes, it's like many countries. They don't want to be invaded, and we've invaded their country, and we're losing soldiers, young people mainly.
Yeah.
And spending billions of dollars on this effort, while we, and so that money that could be well put into saving lives by building affordable housing.
Yeah, and by then the money will be gone and the housing won't be here.
Well, that's right, and we'll have lost many other young lives or had people wounded, and you know, when we mourn Paul Crouch, we should also have some respect for the Afghani people. You know, there was an American bombing that the Americans denied, but the United Nations has done a study on it, and of course they said that just in the last month there was a terrible bombing and 60 children were killed in an American bombing, and that's the side we're on.
These are American bombs.
These were American bombs, yes. That's our ally in the area.
Okay. Well, I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe even some respect for the veterans who are being recruited in large numbers and are coming back and are not getting any support from the government but buyouts. And Canada hasn't laid out the money to keep them from harm while they're there. Canada won't lay out the money to look after them when they come back. So it seems a no-win deal for everybody, including the Afghanis. I'm sorry to say that, because it really sounds tragic.
Well, yes, the Harpers of the world and the Dions of the world who support this war are not fighting this war. And it is young people who take the brunt of this, and of course they sometimes take advantage of us when we're younger and haven't figured everything out, and so we're in one side of a fight.
Right.
A very deadly fight, and in that fight too, then of course our people end up killing civilians too.
Yeah.
And I guess the big question is, what are we doing there when we leave? You know, we have many, many people dying here on the streets.
Yeah.
All the time. We
yeah.
have at least two people in Toronto a week dying.
And you know, when you mention that to the police or the other authorities, you get a wry smile, as if it's not true, or it was somehow not important. I'm not asking you to pass judgment on this, but I'm just remarking that it's hard to get this taken seriously, isn't it?
Well, that's the nature of prejudice. The nature of prejudice is kind of directing anger and directing attention in certain ways, and of course the police, what the way of dealing in our society is just using force or using the law, and police are paid highly to do that.
Yeah.
They're not paid to be understanding of the situations. They're paid and trained to be, you know, sort of almost like paralegals.
Yeah.
Sorry, not paralegal, but paramilitary.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we often don't get a good attitude. They're paid to clean the streets, and they clear the homeless people off of the streets as well.
Yeah.
So that creates a type of attitude. And in fact, if they don't do their job, I suppose they'd lose it.
Maybe. Don't understand them. What is the next event?
Well, the next event is a Housing Not War musical event.
Oh, yeah. Who's performing?
Era Marlowe, I believe, one of them.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali, but that's a young Muhammad Ali.
Good.
And they're going to be there playing up a storm, and we're going to bring up the issues of housing, not war, in the homeless population, which is right next to the Moss Park Armories, and we'll march on the Moss Park Armories as well that day.
So Sherbourne and Queen.
Sherbourne and Queen. It's just near the John Innes Centre. It probably will be set up just north of the John Innes Centre at Sherbourne and Queen.
What's the date and what's the time?
Well, the 20th is Saturday,
12:30
in the afternoon.
Okay.
12:30.
Yeah, just after lunchtime.
Yeah.
And you mentioned a couple of other events coming up as well.
Well, they'll be on the 23rd. There'll be an event where people will be speaking out about the loss of services. That's at the Wood Green Community Center.
Oh, yeah.
And that's at 835 Queen Street.
Carlaw, isn't it?
Yeah, it's near Carlaw, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And 835 Queen Street East. And that'll be held at around noon.
Okay.
And that'll go on for a couple of hours. And there'll be free food there, too.
Okay.
Which will... people can come out and speak about the situation.
What's the 23rd?
Well, that's where we'll be fighting for around the fact that the federal government is not at this point bringing forward their funding, which is used across this country.
That's a Tuesday, right?
It's a Tuesday.
Yeah. What's happening with that funding? I called it Skippy, and you say you're calling it hippie now.
Well,
what has changed? Have we given up hope for some part of it, or is it taken on a different focus?
Well, no. What has happened, because the government has changed,
yeah,
they wanted to name it something else.
Not so liberal, yes, okay.
Yeah, so it doesn't have a liberal brand. What's happened is that we had to fight it for it the last time, we're going to win this. We're going to fight this right across the country. People are doing this in Ottawa and Quebec and right across the country. They're fighting this problem.
Is it important for the public to show up for this event?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So these funds are funds that are expiring in March, but for which people need to make decisions before the change of the year, right?
Well, you've got to make decisions now, because in fact, very soon, unless there's some decisions made, there'll be layoffs. Now, in the case that there are positive decisions made, there can be some bridging that happens. But we need that money now. It's all very well to go to elections, but people seem to have forgotten that the poorest of the poor were not getting their services, or that their services are threatened.
This happened last year, didn't it? But there was
We were out there protesting. We were out there protesting last year, and we'll probably have to protest outside of Flaherty's office again this year after the 23rd as well. So we have to heat this up right across the country.
It's kind of cynical. It looked like the extension was just to get them past the election.
Well, again, we're going to ride them in this election around this question, and they just seemed to not understand that we had some homelessness in the country.
Okay.
We'll make them understand.
Well, yeah, great. What about the last event that you mentioned in October?
In October, I'm not sure the timing of it, but I think they're going to start, I think it's probably around noon on the 18th of October,
mm-hmm.
and that's the larger peace movement is starting to, is going to be marching there,
mm-hmm.
Around peace in general, and of course the Our Housing Not War section will be marching with them and participating with them.
Where does this, are there any plans laid for it yet?
As far as I know, I think it's around noon on the 18th, I think it starts at Queen's Park.
Well, that was probably the event that I heard about moved on then.
There may be something,
It sounds like the one I heard about, only it sounds like the date's been moved.
Okay.
Unfortunately, October 20th is before many people get their checks, so it'll probably affect the turnout a little, but not much in a city where you can go anywhere for, $250, I guess.
No, that's true.
Yeah. So what do you know about this event? You say it starts at Queen's Park, which is always a good sign.
I don't know all of the details as yet. There's been a lot of debate because, the 18th is past the election time. So I think there are going to be kind of spontaneous things. Unfortunately, by the time that the elections come, there'll probably be more deaths. And we're up to 97 young people dying and soldiers who are died. Could easily happen that we go up to 100, and at that point people are going to speak out again.
Oh, so this is from the other perspective. This is your perspective on the September events is basically
housing not war, yeah.
Yeah, and their perspective is basically not war, so housing.
Yeah, well,
yeah, from the other end,
we're all uniting around these questions. There are artists who want art funding, not war. There are people that are going to be soon coming in, I'm sure, daycare, not war, things like that are beginning to come together as they did around the Vietnam War. That was where, people started to begin to understand other people's issues and started to come together and understand that if we're going to have a peaceful society, a peaceful society is not just a society without war. It's a society that takes care of their people.
That's an interesting definition. Does that have a more literal meaning than the symbolic one that you've ascribed to it? Are you saying that in order to keep the peace? No, you're not saying that.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm saying though that for us to have peace, peace might be a better life and all that kind of thing. We have to.
So peace is a value that's consonant with other values that are linked to it.
It's not just the absence of war.
Yeah, no, I hear
you. And I think that's someone else's statement. I'd like to say that that was mine, but I think it's an old concept.
Very good. So this link-up between you and the peace group is encouraging. You've linked up for some time now with disability groups before them. What do you see behind this emergence of a pretty much a united front to espouse the lifestyle which Canada's Charter of Rights promises, but which seems to be awfully slow in coming?
Well, I think these are natural alliances. I think we have to have ally with others. We have interest in doing that.
Yeah.
Because the world is, as I said, not just a war and the absence of war. That we need the housing. Monies are being spent in violent ways. We have to be giving aid to Afghanistan. We've caused a lot of damage as an invader. And, of course, we'll have to give money that goes towards housing, because at this stage we're damaging housing.
Yeah.
So we do owe something to these people.
Yeah.
At the same time, money that is just going into armaments and violence, we need that to run our society. We need it for our housing. We need it for supports. We need it for daycare. We need it for health care. And so it's natural that we do all come together. Talk about Canada and talk about the world.
Yeah.
And now for a short break with Lightning Hopkins, Lightning's Boogie.
But I guess I'll boogie with you a little while, anyhow. Now, where we going and boogie at? Down to your sister's house. What they having down there? A boogie-woogie thing. Well, all right then. Let's go. Up now, don't do like that. I'm getting too old to wheel on the floor like I used to, but then watch this little lick I'm gonna put out. Play it, boy. Ooh-wee. That's what I'm talking about. Make them old basses cut up for me again so I can sass it with when and tell you swing yours and I swing mine, and then we'll be trucking on down the line. Come on, you girl, don't go slowing back. I'm an old man and you getting tired already.
Listening to Barrick German, co-founder of the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, talk about the upcoming events for activists during and after the election and the need for more funding for social initiatives in Southern Ontario.
I guess politicians in general certainly at the top levels, are well enough off that they're not worried about taking care of themselves in the future, I would think they would be concerned about their families, because the generation they're raising is the generation that's going to take care of them. And at its youngest, it's the generation that's going to take care of their kids, too. And if they're deprived of what they need, it's a gray-looking future for them, more so for their kids. I don't see the short-sightedness of it all. I never have.
Well, I guess there's two types of politics. There's, traditionally, there have been the politics of the people, which go beyond just electoral politics.
Mm-hmm.
In all societies, there have been people that have fought for rights and obtained them, even when there weren't elections. So there has to be work on issues even that come up in elections. And those are the grassroots movements that have generally laid the groundwork or actually brought about change. And I think there's evidence to show that in certain periods, like the 1930s, people came together around many, many things. And one change, not necessarily through the ballot box. And there's this other kind of idea that politics is like the politics that is, you know, the electoral politics that are going on right now. Those would be, you know, the voting for often Tweedledees and Tweedledums, and a whole process of dumbing us down, a time, in fact, where there's not a lot of politics discussed.
Right.
But there have to be many things that we discuss, because we, the people, the ordinary people, have many issues, and they must be resolved. And so I would say that our movements are the movements of the grassroots, and we will be affecting the body politic. That is, even elections, of course, we'll be setting the agendas of elections. But it's very important that we do build up on the ground, so that these things are the kind of things that we talk about in our coffee shops, in our bars, in our homes, and then we go to the streets about, that we don't wait for elections when issues come to us that are very important.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that forward as a perspective, because many people think, well, okay, now is the only political time.
Yeah, you get your 5 minutes of fame, and then you have to sit back for 4 years.
Well, that's right. Somebody said something like 8 X's in a lifetime. Is that what democracy is? And
what did you say?
So. I think somebody said 8 X's in a lifetime.
8 X's in a lifetime. Wow. Okay.
Well, that's what democracy means. Well, I don't think so. Democratic rights are. It's much more important to have the other democratic rights: the rights to assemble, the rights to protest, the rights to disseminate information.
Right.
And because the deck stacked a bit, you know.
Yeah.
We need the ability to come together, and like all people have, fight for a better world. We're all here partly because of our ancestors.
You made an interesting statement that money is being spent in violent ways. And when you think of money being spent, you think of flashing a Visa card or pulling money from a wallet. But you never think about the motivation behind the spending of the money as part and parcel of the transaction. And whether you question the motivation or not, you have to question the effect. If somebody says, well, we're spending this money to bring peace, but all it brings is death and destruction, you have to wonder, well, are you spending the money to bring peace? I'd never thought of money being spent violently. It was a very interesting turn of phrase, and I don't mean that facetiously. It's a very different way of looking at the power of spending.
Well, I think that whether a person or people are pacifists or not pacifists,
mm-hmm.
they would have to look at the violence of the Afghan war and the imposition of our interference in the Afghan war. Okay, there are many claims being made around our side, the side in this civil war that we're promoting. But I think it's easy to question those claims. We're supporting a bunch of the warlords who are taking a lot of the development money. And on the other hand, maybe a lot of us don't support the Taliban, and some of their allies, but we can't pretend that the side that we're supporting are all good mm-hmm. or better than the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
And so the questions, our motives are questioned here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where did we enter that country with good intentions? Or did we enter that country with the interests of the American Empire in mind?
Or were our motives mixed, or were we even aware of the motives at the time? Did they not bear thinking politically, you know, in that sense? The question of the motives is really open, but you have to examine the motives in light of the effect, too.
Well, to the extent that ordinary people gave support to the war, the belief was that we were supporting a better regime,
yeah.
And that we would support that regime with force.
Yeah.
And in order to keep it in power.
Yeah.
But that regime has proven and was, and even looking at it in a cursory way, could have seen that that regime is filled with warlords and people with very poor human rights records.
Yeah.
Malaloya Joya, a woman who was kicked out of parliament, is very clear on that. She says that she's an Afghan, and she said that the Afghanis have to do this themselves. We cannot choose who runs Afghanistan. And she was kicked out of parliament because she criticized the warlords and basically said, you know, that and has said that many of them should have been in prison, should have been in The Hague.
Okay.
And then we've got another fellow who he had been put in prison and was going to be beheaded,
mm-hmm.
Because he made the claim that the Quran said that women were equal.
Right.
Well, so he was imprisoned. And that's the side that we're backing.
Yeah.
And the other side have we have issues with the other side as well. But in essence, we will not. We're losing support in that war because of ill intentions of the side that we're on.
Right.
And so they're going over to the other side. Our soldiers are getting killed.
Yeah.
We will not be able to impose the American will on people,
yeah,
any more than the Russians were able to impose their will on these people.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was there anything that we haven't covered about these events?
I'm sure there'd be
scheduling
many things,
and their meanings.
Many, many things that we will try and cover. You know, we'll have to make many moves on behalf of the ordinary people. You know, like ourselves,
mm-hmm.
because as you know, we're speaking actually today and. This is the 15th of September.
Yeah, and we got
and
the election coming.
On the 15th of September, we don't just have an election. We have a huge recession sweeping in on us.
Yeah.
And we've just had a major bank in the United States fall. And as we speak, money markets around the world are falling. And we will have many fights. And they all interrelate a bit. And it makes sense that we become involved in them.
I agree. I thank you for coming online to say that.
Yeah, well, everybody's got to come online somehow, in some way.
All right.
So I appreciate this.
Thanks, Beric. Thanks for your voice on these issues and your time today to tell this respect and the listener about that.
Okay, take care, Jeff.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
You've been listening to Toronto Disaster Relief Committee co-founder Beric German. Talk about homes, not bombs. In Canada, North America, and around the world, particularly in context of the deteriorating economy and the election. Let's break at the halfway point for the show with Big Joe Duskin, Lowdown Dog.
low down dog no more. Well, if you don't treat me right, then down the road I'll go. Well, I work hard, baby, bring you home my pay. I work hard, baby, bring you home my pay. Well, it's your time now, gonna be mine some.
This week we had a long and fruitful conversation with our shut-in, Cotter Ballooney, a blind man, in sanctuary and church at St. Gabriel's Church in Montreal, awaiting approval of his second application for immigration to Canada, nearing 1,000 days in confinement. Cotter Ballooney.
Yeah, it's okay.
Still kind of tired and frustrated like the last
time? Yeah, I feel like... It's not. It's my heart. I have problems. It's heart problem.
Heart?
In my heart. My heart, like health, my santé.
Oh yeah, your soul. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I feel like just tired.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Like.
Long fight, isn't it?
Yeah,
I haven't got your site up, but how do you know how much it is now? Because if you don't, I'm going to go and look it up.
No, just I know. Just my friend told me 27 going to be 1,000 day.
What is the site address? It's Sutiampur Kadar. What's the extension?
Sutiampur Kadar.net.
Net. Okay. 988 days, 17 hours. Okay.
How much?
988.17.
Oh, wow.
So after tonight, it's 989 days. So, yeah, 11 days from tonight, which is, yeah, the 27th. You got it.
Yeah.
The 1,000 days. Well, there's a temporary title for your book, your expose.
Yeah, that's the artist from Montreal.
Yeah.
They want to do something for 27.
That's a good idea.
So, yeah, the artist, I know just like a few days ago, the artist, they want to do something in 27. I'm not sure, but I heard them talking about the media. They want to do a press conference.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's not me. It's not my committed support. It's the artist, only the artist, the Montreal artist.
I understand. Yeah. No, press conference is a very good idea. Yeah. That would be the 27th of September. That's 2 weeks before the election, then. That's good.
Before election, yeah.
Yeah, so somebody from the federal parties should be there. If it's a press event, then somebody should have something to say. Maybe some promises, maybe, you know.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be nice? I mean, you know, they're all running for re-election, and nobody's sure who's going to make it, although it looks good for Harper, as you said. And if he makes it, it'd be nice if he had a promise, you know, when he got there.
I don't know, but, it's very frustrating. 1,000 days, that's too much. Number is a big number, man. It's like...
I've heard you say too much so many times now. I must have heard you say that 100 times, and I haven't known you all those 1,000 days. It always sounds the same, too much.
Yeah.
Man. You know, and everybody agrees with you. It's way too much.
Yeah, and nobody listened to you. You know, doesn't care. He's I know how to think, the politicals. I know they want to think. I know what the political person that think all the world thinks same.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
How do you think? Just leave him there. We don't care. You know.
Really.
Yeah, just leave the same. But the whole the politics of the world same. They has the same mentality. Same. Thinking, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, before election,
I don't think the NDP feel that way. They seem to be aware. And who's your local MP, federally?
My MP here.
Yeah.
It's the MP here. He came. I'm talking about who governed the country.
He's Bloc, isn't he?
It's a Bloc, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, give me a lot of support.
Good. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but I'm talking about who governed the country, you know, the big conservative, the liberal.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. That's
if the conservatives and the liberals come out even, then the people who really govern the country are the people who enable them to stay in power, should be. Didn't seem to be the NDP, though, this time, and it didn't. The Bloc had a little clout. The Bloc had a little clout because the conservatives couldn't have done it without somebody else. So if they come out with another minority, they'll need somebody else, and that somebody else has a, you know, for them it's a small issue, you know, that somebody else has a chance to say, well, you know, we think you should do this, and, you know, if you want our support.
Yeah, but, anyway, now, just I feel like now,
yeah.
You know what's happened, I feel like I look into them the same.
Oh, they all look the same, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that feeling, too. It's not funny, but yeah, it's true, you know. You stand off at a distance and you say, what's the difference? And the differences are pretty...
Yeah, I see, I don't care who's going to be Harper or Stephen Dion or, I don't know, or Jack Clinton. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm looking to them same and...
Yeah. And you're just hoping that they will all...
The day when I get my paper and get my citizen.
Yeah.
For sure, when I give my vote to somebody.
Yeah.
Man, it take me a while to think who I can give my...
Yeah.
Yeah, because... Maybe I give it to anybody.
Yeah, it's not.
Man, I feel like I had a torture, man. Do you know?
Yeah, that's true. Right here in Canada.
Yeah, it's.
I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, if you can torture somebody, just leave him waiting. We have, you know, the torture. It's not like you torture somebody with shock, electricity shock. You know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of like the ideas how you can torture me, like torture the, like.
I have to tell you, alone in a room is a very good way of torture. The only difference is you make it a soundproof room, so they can't tell time. But that's really the only difference. Alone in a room. Yeah.
That's if you want to like torture somebody, just leave him waiting.
Yeah, yeah.
Just say to him nothing and just wait. Wait.
Yeah.
Look, just before, like a few days ago, I was listening to the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're talking about the guy who took money for many people here in Quebec.
Yeah.
For like some business.
Yeah.
And after he went out of business, this guy.
Yeah.
He took like 1 million something, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know how many years he wanna spend in jail?
No.
2 years.
Oh, I see. So less time than you.
It's not 2 years, like, close. You want after 6 months, maybe.
Oh, really?
You're going to be out.
I see. Okay.
And, like, he took, like, $1 million and something.
Yeah, I know.
This is, like, a big story. This is, like, who the people, it's, like, it's trust him, give him on money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after he went out of business, and he said, like, this is out of business, that's a goodbye.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't have money to make a lawyer.
Right. Yeah.
And he took 1 million and something. Well, I heard on the radio and television, like, the women and the guy crying. All the money we have, like, I could give this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
For business after he said goodbye.
Yeah.
And he spent all, he once spent all, this is like the just 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he once spent like maybe 6 months.
Yeah. Is that two, if that's 2 years less a day, that's not even in a federal penitentiary.
Yeah, and he knows how long it would take him to get out.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And I did any mistake, just I said like, I want to stay in here.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go back to country where, like, every day we have Kurds, every day attack terrorist attacks and the bombs.
Yeah.
I said, just I'm blind. I want to live with good, like, safe situation. You know what I mean? And
yeah. I hear you. You haven't done anything, and your punishment is worse than the man who stole $1 million. In fact, your punishment is five times as bad as the man who stole $1 million.
Yeah, and can you imagine... 3 years, almost 1,000 days.
Yeah.
And this is 1,000 days, and it's like, it's going to be over too. You know what I mean? Over 1,000 for sure.
Okay. Your show's coming on this week, isn't it?
Excuse me?
Isn't your radio show going to air this week?
It's in 26. I move it to 26.
Just this month or every month?
No, just this month, I feel like.
26th, the Friday, the 26th of September.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah?
Yeah, and yeah, that's why I went to the radio show.
Okay. CKUT.
Yeah, CKUT 90.2 FM, yeah.
Do you find it helps to have the radio show?
Yeah, it's good. It's a radio show, it's good, because I give the voice.
Right.
Like, I'm not giving the voice for people who famous. I give the only whole, like, you know, that
yeah,
the organizations and, you know.
Yeah.
And the children, talking about children, it was social thing.
Okay. I hear you. Most people probably don't realize that, you know, it's, you know, it goes two ways. It's not just good for the people who hear the show. It's not just an ego trip for me, but it's fun. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the radio show is important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
On the radio show, I put all my problems aside.
Yeah.
Just talking about another thing, you know?
Yeah, very
that's
good.
That's the hour to make me, like, more power. You know, I forget my problems and talking only for other things.
Well, and for people who haven't heard it yet, it is the hour of power, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
I know things have slowed down lately for you, but any other projects on the go?
I'm working a lot on my music now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I want to start a recording with another person. Just I heard to him today, and he said, We're recording until they can end it next month.
Okay, good. Is this the guy who wanted to distribute, or no? Someone else?
No. It's
okay.
Another person. And this time, yeah, I'm just now I'm played. I want to try to find few melodies.
Find what?
Melody.
Melodies, yeah.
Yeah, melody and yeah. Yeah, but it's like it's gonna be just like poem and the music.
Very good.
Yeah.
The
music's gonna be very soft music and just like piano and guitar.
Oh, I'd like to hear that. That's gonna be your next CD.
Yeah, just piano and guitar and flute. That's it. It's three things.
Oh well, we gotta keep in touch because I gotta hear that when it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my mother started teaching piano at 16.
Wow.
In 1967, she decided that there was a better way to teach music to little kids than their parents telling them that they couldn't go out if they didn't do their practice.
Yeah.
So she decided to teach them when they were three. And, and by the time they got to age 9, they knew everything they needed to pick up an instrument. It's not like instant success, but I mean, you can read the notes, you can read the key signatures, you have a sense of rhythm, you have a sense of musical history, even.
Yeah.
And the kids don't know that they're working. They're young enough that they don't know this is supposed to be hard. So they think they're just having fun. And when they tell them at age 9 that you can't come back anymore, they cry. Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine being told, well, you know, you've learned all there is to know about you know, your instrument and you know, you're a success, you're done. And then you cry.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, she won an award for it. 37 years teaching music in Burlington.
Wow.
And the town gave her an award after she died.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And my brothers and sisters, my sister and my brother are now seeing the grandchildren of original children who enrolled in the 1960s.
Wow.
They're coming back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a new program too. I have a new program for piano.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they helped me a lot.
What do you mean? You've got a new like computer program that helps the
yeah,
kids learn
like,
piano?
Yeah, I have program like teaching program.
Oh yeah.
Piano.
Okay. Yeah.
For the guy from Florida.
Okay.
Yeah, and I buy like 8 CDs from him.
Oh, yeah?
For $65.
Okay, good.
Very cheap. And the guy, he's a very big musician.
Yeah.
And he's... But he do this program only for blind.
Oh, really?
But he can... This is a program for blind, but you can see the picture, you can see nothing. Just hear the voice.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So they're audio discs, are they?
Yeah, it's audio disc, yeah.
Yeah.
But I have it on my internet. It just
When I was young, I used to draw. I don't draw anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I gave it up when I was around 14 or 15. But I used to draw with pencil all the time. And
how old are you now?
How old am I now?
Yeah.
Oh, that I'd say that's a secret. But we might as well tell everybody everybody listening that I'm now.
No, don't say.
What matters is what's happening now,
mm-hmm.
And if you can't be here now, you're not alive. That's all. You know, you have to be.
But
here.
Believe me, your voice is looking like very, very young.
Well, I think not because like, it's emotional, it's passionate.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, like oh well, you know.
You always told me like I give up. I have 14, 15. So just I said, how old do you now? It's like.
Yeah. Well, if you know, if through your political connections you can get my birth certificate and my age changed, you know, you can take years off it. I'd be very grateful. I'll tell you a story for the musician, and this is a personal story. Because I used to draw, I used to be upset because every year my mother would buy in many dozens of yellow, long yellow pencils, which she never even sharpened, right? They got the little pink eraser on the end, and they're flat on the other end because they're not sharpened, and she would give one to each of her students. And she I can't tell you this the way she could, I'm sure, but the essence of it is she would give it to the student, and she would say, I want you to use your index finger, your finger right next to your thumb, to break this pencil. And she would hold the pencil at the ends and hold it out in front of the student. And what used to disturb me was when she was done with all of this, there were like six dozen broken pencils, you know, perfectly good pencils, and they were broken. And I had to ask her one time, I said, Mom, why do you break all those pencils? And she says, well, I show them how to touch the piano. She says, if most of them, when you give them the pencil, they bring their finger down, And they pretty much stop at the pencil, and they hurt their finger, and they don't break the pencil. She says,
But if you
bring your finger past the pencil, you break the pencil, and you don't hurt your finger, and that's how you must play the keys of the piano. The piano is it's a percussion instrument. It's a kind of drum, you know? And not that it sounds like a drum, but I mean,
my teacher is a piano teacher. He told me it's like a drum. That's it.
Okay, yeah. Because you hit the key hits the hammer hits the string.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure when you hit the key, the hammer's not sure when it hits the string.
Yeah.
And the string's not sure when it makes the sound. And you can tell. It's a plunky sound with a distortion at the beginning and the end. But if you hit the key true, like you mean it, then the hammer hits the string like you mean it, and the string rings out like you mean it, and the music, oddly, you know, the firmer you are in the key, the softer the music is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So she explained this to me, and I forgave her breaking those six or seven dozen pencils every fall. Yeah.
That makes me laugh.
Yeah, for sure.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. She was smart. She was so smart. Yeah, that too.
Yeah. So I give you that secret from European classical teachers on down to somebody's mother and some radio broadcaster.
Good.
Through to you.
Good.
Hand it on. Well,
I'm good. Okay.
We're just about eating up a lot of time now, and I probably will paste it all, and everybody will look at it. God, what are they talking about for 20 minutes, you know? But
yeah.
I know. We get people listening anyway.
Yeah.
Anything you wanted to say this week?
I said just, like, I want everybody, like, how to listen to us to pay for me.
Say that again. You want them to listen?
I said to everybody to who listen to me, to listen to us now, just to pray for us.
To pray for you.
That's what I want.
All right. I won't cut out of the interview for sure.
Yeah.
We'll end on that note. Yeah. And we'll talk to you next Monday.
Okay.
Hey, they didn't cut your phone off, eh?
Huh?
Fido didn't cut your phone off.
He cut my off. Yeah, he do it like last Monday.
Oh yeah.
I wake up the morning. I didn't find the line.
All right.
And just like I want to try if I have message.
Yeah.
They take me to ring direct to Fido.
Yeah.
I just a minute. I have no. Yeah.
So you're back on the air. You have trouble with them.
Yeah, I talked to the man.
And you have free incoming, don't you?
Yeah, I have free incoming.
Yeah, okay, good.
That's why I have good.
That's why you can do interviews, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So you talked to Fido and everything's okay for now?
Yeah,
all right. See you Monday.
Okay, take care.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's the last of Disrespect for this week. You stick around. I hear word that Octopus Army is coming up next, and after that, classical music with Richard Corr. Going out, we have T-Bone Walker and Good Morning Little Schoolgirl.
Hello, little schoolgirls. Can I go home with? Can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your father, Dr. Ross, let's schoolboy too. Woke up this morning, man, I could hardly. Man, I could hardly see. Well, I didn't have no blue this morning. I was all messed up and down. Come on, be my baby. Come on, be my baby. I'll buy you diamonds. I'll buy you diamond ring. Well, don't come and be my little woman. Ain't gonna buy you a doggone thing. I'm gonna buy me an airplane. Gonna buy me an airplane. Gonna fly all over the. Gonna fly all over this town. Don't even find the woman I'm loving. Ain't gonna let my airplane down. Come on, Dr. Ross. I don't know how to live. Baby, what in this world to, baby, what in this world to do? Well, don't wanna hurt your feelings. I need to get married to you.
You can now listen to the show wherever you're near the internet. Disrespect is streamed live at http://cfmu.mcmaster.ca. Disrespect is archived at www.radioforall.net. That's the number four, not the word, radioforall.net. You can find the shows under its name, Disrespect. Tune in at Showtime, Thursdays at noon, 93.3 FM, CFMU, to see if something more topical hasn't displaced the show that we planned. Disrespect is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.